We're going to be dealing with inspecting the fruit of long suffering today.
It's time for another Holy Ghost inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, bless this word that is about to be proclaimed because it is your word. And it's your heart that we would read it and know that you are the Lord. Praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, God's people say, amen and amen. All right, if I could bother someone, I left my water in the back. If you grab me one. I want to continue on with the sermon series that we've been on, fruit inspection. How many of you have been doing your fruit inspection? And I'm excited. Last week, we talked about integrity being a part of having a peaceful life. And a couple of you told me I will be back. And I'm happy to say that your integrity is there. You are back. Thank you. How many of you have been getting some conviction over some of these sermons, this series? I think it's very, very important for us to be thankful for that, because God is working in us. He's changing, and He's doing something in us and changing us into who He is. So now, would you go with me to the book of Galatians? And this is our opening text for our sermon series in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll start with this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here's the key here, folks, to this fruit that should be coming out of our lives. Walking in the Spirit. Walking the way God says. For the flesh, that flesh man, lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you, as I have before, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the world tells us that those things are okay. All that list of things that we just read. Say, it's okay, do what you want, nobody will care. I want you to know, God cares. God cares. We can't just go around doing these things of the flesh and say, it's okay. Or how about this one? Everybody else is doing it. And how many parents told their kids, well, if everybody else is doing it, they jumped in front of a train, are you going to jump in front of a train? Anybody heard that from your parents? How many parents have said that to your kids? Yeah. Okay, not everybody, but some have. Right? So the thing about it is, this is what God is saying. If you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the total opposite, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we have covered love, joy, peace. And I had a few folks tell me that they weren't coming this week because of the next one. But I politely told them, you never know, the Lord may change it to the next one. And then when you come back, you're going to get this one. But we are going to go there with this next one of long suffering. We're going to be dealing with inspecting the fruit of long suffering today. And again, I'd hope to do a couple of them, but that's not going to happen today. Because I want to major in on this one of what that word actually means. So there's actually two words that make up this Greek word. One is makros, and the other one is thermos. So it actually means long temper. We're going to talk about temper today. Nobody in here has a temper, do they? So this word describes someone who is able to restrain their anger and to endure hardship, provocation, or delay. All right. Again, I'm going to say this, and we got it up here on the screen, what the word means. Someone who's able to restrain their anger against these things. Just out of curiosity, how many of us have at one point or another said we have a short temper, a short fuse? Oh, there's two or three. Little by hand, the hands are going like this. There's a couple big ones back in the back there. Yeah, so we're going to be talking about this today. And oftentimes in our family situations, some of us grew up with parents, grandparents that had short fuses, what we call, or they were quick-tempered, quick to anger. And I can tell you that God is able to change this. Let me just tell you that. God can change that. We're not stuck right there because of this fruit of the Spirit. We don't have to be what our grandparents were, what our parents were. And I oftentimes say this, that I grew up, my brother Rick and I, and he's not here today, we're going to keep him in prayer, he's sick. But we grew up in a home, an Italian home, on my mother's side of the family, and maybe my sister's watching, but my grandfather was a little Italian guy, but he had a temper like you would not believe. And that temper caused so many issues and fighting and violent behaviors. And so some people say today, well, Pastor, you know, God has just blessed you. You're just so mild-mannered. You just, nothing seems to faze you. Laura's shaking her head. Yeah. Do you think that I came built without anger because I'm a pastor? And what I grew up with and what I saw? I can tell you that God is able to tame the temper. Because He's done it with me. I've watched Him do that. And if a lot of us like to use the excuse when we do something or we spout off at the mouth and we say, well, that's okay. I get it naturally. Anybody ever said that before? It's not natural for the believer in Christ. It's natural for the flesh man. So let's just get that straight from the beginning. We're not stuck to where we cannot change. It's a choice of do we want to change into what God wants us to be. Amen? Amen? Somebody's right now saying, Pastor, that should be the end of the sermon. But we have to go on here because this is a person, when we inspect the fruit, are we able to restrain our anger? So, many translations that you have on this word of long-suffering is the word patient. And we all love that word, right? And that's the word that some of you said, I'm not coming back this week. The question is that you or I that we cannot seem to restrain our anger? Well, today, this sermon is for us. if we're in that category where, you know, we just fly off the handle, is another phrase that said. I just can't help myself. When something happens, I just blow up. How many of us were getting ready, we're going to go worship the Lord in our families, and then something happens that makes us blow up and fly off the handle right before on the way coming to church? And I can tell you now, I loved my father, but I can recall many, many times all four of us said, you're getting ready, you're going to church, we're on our way to worship the Lord, and then he's mad on the way to church. And I'm thinking to myself, we're going to worship the Lord. How many of us, we have this anger that just rises up within inside of us? Or we can be at church and we're worshiping God, hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. We get out into the car and our wife or our husband says something to us, our grandchildren, our sons, our daughters, and bang, we just fly off the handle. There's nobody in here like that, right? So I want to talk about this person that is able to restrain. And by that definition, we're going to cover all three of these topics here. During hardship, during provocation, and during delays. All right, so let's dig into the first one here. Enduring hardships. Now, hardships, many of us don't really need to know what they are, but I'm going to list them. These are temptations that come our way. These are illnesses that come our way. Lost jobs, lost loved ones, broken relationships, persecution for your faith, and on and on and on we go. These are hardships that take place in our lives. So, no one is exempt from hardships. If you are alive in this world, there's hardships. Is there anyone in here that has not experienced any hardships? That's good. That means we're all human in the house. Now, Jesus himself even said that we would have them. How many of you remember that scripture? That's John 16:33. In this world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, hardships. When we go through hardships, how is this fruit of restraining anger working during the hardships? Now, things happen in our lives, and none of us are exempt from these things happening. There may be an illness that comes that's a prolonged type of illness, and it seems as if it lasts forever. And we go through different phases of that, sometimes feeling sorry for ourselves, but oftentimes an anger comes within that period. And we get this, why me? And then it moves to God. Why? Why am I experiencing this? And getting angry with God and getting angry with others. And not being able to restrain from that. There's a guy, and we oftentimes refer to him, his name is the Apostle Paul. That guy experienced hardship. So again, I quickly want to take a look at that over in 2 Corinthians. And we've done this before, but again, I want to remind us, if you think you had a hard time, let's go back to the Apostle Paul's life. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul said, are they ministers of Christ, talking about those that are coming before him, claiming they are ministers? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes except one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I suffered shipwreck, 1 night and 1 day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, perils of mine own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the cities, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are with me, come daily the care of the churches. Would you say that he had hardships? I would say that he has. Yet, he talks to his son in the faith, even after all these things that have happened to him. Turn with me over to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he's talking to his son in the faith, and he says this. Verse 1, I charge you therefore, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all, what's the word, church? With all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they will heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure the afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. So he was telling Timothy, don't get angry. Don't get angry with all the things that will befall you, because this is life. This is what we will deal with. And I can tell you that even after, at that time, 35, 38 years of preaching the Word of God, when I got sick and had to have the open heart surgery, and it took me forever to recover from that, there was a point that I got angry. I got angry with God. Why, God? Why are you allowing this? But aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost that brings us back into... And I confess that, because that's where I was such a long time and so many issues healing. And I got angry. The fruit was not looking good with long suffering. Even though I had preached that time and time again, how many of you know the things that we tell others, they're going to come back to us? And I had to come face to face with this one. Because one day I was sitting there in my chair just being angry and all upset. And the Holy Spirit asked me, why are you upset? Of course, I had all my reasons of why I was upset. But the Lord said, they're not going to fly. And the word long-suffering came back. Patience in afflictions. Paul said that in Romans, I think it's chapter 12. Being patient in afflictions. Long-suffering, and that meant not getting angry. I had to repent before God. And some of us may have to, because of the hardships that we go through, and we get angry. We get angry with people, the people that are around us. How many of you have ever had someone take their anger out on you when it had nothing to do with you? I just wonder how many of us have done that same thing to others. So it comes down to that. Enduring hardship. It doesn't just mean existing through it, folks. Like, okay, preacher, I know I need to endure through this, but I'm going to be angry the whole time I'm through it. That's not what we're talking about. It's not what we're talking about. But existing in the same manner as you were before the suffering began, without being angry about it with God or with anyone else. In other words, we need to stay the same. What were you like before the hardship hit? Stay that way. The Holy Spirit will help you to stay that way through the hardship. That is the fruit of long-suffering. We're not saying that it's an easy thing to go through, because that's why it's called hardship. But ask God, I want to be the same way. Yes, I may be hurting. I may be hurting because of what has happened. But God, I don't want to be angry. Let me be the same loving person through the hardship. Can I get an amen on that? Number two, long-suffering has to do with restraining from anger during provocations. Now, that's a big word. Some of you say, what does that mean, provocations? I'm going to break it down to you real easy. You ready? Someone provokes you. Nobody's ever had that happen before, have they? Absolutely. Nobody has ever provoked you. All right, so what is provocation? I think I might be provoking her right now. Provocation, an action or a speech that makes someone annoyed or angry. Anybody ever been annoyed with someone else? Right there? Okay. Yes? I'm looking at you. Yeah. How many of us been annoyed? Raise your hand. Someone annoyed you. If you don't raise your hand, you're not alive. Okay? All right. Especially when it's deliberately done. Okay? So, there's some words that we use for this provocation. One of them is goading. Another one is prodding. You ever hear this one? Egging on. Here's my favorite one. Pushing buttons. Now, we all have buttons. Those are what's called hot buttons. Somebody does something and it just seems to tickle that little thing right down inside of you. Okay, now, recently, actually this week, and they may be using it right now on the video, we have a machine back there that you push the button and it just automatically changes the scene in the camera, and it's just bing, bing, bing. Now, if the video operators want to provoke me, they could just push buttons back there. Ding, ding, and just have all these things flying over the screen. How many buttons do you have that people like to push? That's called provocation. How many of you have a husband, wife, son, or daughter that you know their buttons? And you know which ones, when you push those buttons, what's going to happen? It's like, oh, Pastor Aaron's in the back raising his hand like that.
You should get him a trophy.
Okay? All right. We know the buttons. With our spouses, with our kids, what might set them off? So, the question is, Is there long-suffering restraining from anger when someone pushes your button? I want you to think about that right now. When someone pushes your buttons, how many of you have more than one button? And how many of you have a loved one that knows where all those buttons are at? How many of you have that loved one push those buttons occasionally? Yeah, oh, a big hand in the back there, okay. Come on, we're all laughing because we know it happens. Laura knows those buttons with me. Been married 29 years this month, in this year. Yeah, coming up. So she knows me and I know her. Now, not that we do it on purpose, but sometimes you push a button and it was really, you weren't meaning to do it, but yet it still got pushed, right? Or someone pushes that button for you. This fruit of long-suffering is a check for that button being pushed to say, how will I respond to that? Will I restrain from getting angry with that individual? James chapter 1, many of you know James talks about this. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 goes something like this. Wherefore, my beloved brethren and sistren, if that's a word, let every man and woman be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. All right, we studied this a couple Wednesday nights ago. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. Slow to anger. When the buttons are pushed, are we restraining? Or are we letting it fly? Saying, you pushed my button, now you get the response. I pray, and I'm going to pray, and you say, Pastor, please don't do that. I'm going to pray that people push your buttons and push my buttons. And I'm going to ask the Lord to do that for us so that we can exercise the fruit of long suffering. Can I do that? Some of you say, nope, too late. I already said it. And I'm a man of my word, integrity. Because that's the only way we're going to be able to learn to do this, is by people pushing our buttons and prodding us, provoking us, that we will be able to have this fruit working in our lives. Aren't you so glad that you came to church today? I'm not getting any amens. How about in the amen corner back there? Not even there. Okay. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. So, if you're going to be a believer in Christ and you tell me you want to do what the Word of God says to put this on. You don't have a choice here as a believer as to what God wants. You do have a choice of whether or not you do it, but choose not to do it and see what happens. God's word is true and it always works. Put this on and you will have what God desires. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man pushes someone else's buttons, Oh, I'm sorry. Has a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also forgive them. We're not saying it's easy here, folks. But I had a guy that once told me, I think it was in a job, I said, man, this is hard. This is really hard to figure out. And he said, well, if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. But for the believer, God will give us the strength to be able to do this and to endure that when people are pushing our buttons. Amen. Inspect this fruit. Ask God to develop it. And I'm going to ask Him for us all, because it actually comes through enduring this provocation that others have us. The last one that I'm going to talk about today, and that is enduring delays. All right. What do you mean, Pastor? A lot of us struggle with delays in our lives. And we get angry when things are delayed. Some of us say, that doesn't happen to me. Oh, really? How many of you have ever had a package that was supposed to be delivered at a certain time, a certain day, and it did not arrive until 2 weeks later? For one reason or another, it got sent to here, and it got sent to here, and then it went to China, and then from China it came back to New York, and then it went to California. And you're watching this tracking on here. How many of you are so blessed and excited that's happening when you've been waiting for that package to show up? Now we're starting to hit somewhere here, right? Okay. The package has been delayed. Sometimes we get angry over things like this, and our little short fuse starts to break. And here's what we say, somebody's going to hear about this, that this happened to me. That ought not to be happening. Somebody's going to... We get angry about it. Let me ask you something. Is that long-suffering? It is not. Some of you say, well, I don't get any packages in the mail, so that exempts me from this one. No. How about when deadlines are not met? Or you're at a restaurant and your food doesn't show up within the expected amount of time that it should have been there. The Lord loves to do this to me. He absolutely does. It wasn't too long ago that Laura and I were at a restaurant and we waited over an hour for our food after we ordered the food. Now, there were some folks that were in the restaurant. About the same thing was happening to them, and they were getting angry. We have to check ourselves as believers, don't we? Where's our long suffering at? Well, that should not be happening. I want to see the manager now. By the way, you're invited to Living Water Church. That's where I go. No, thank you. How do we respond to the delays that happen? You know, we have to ask ourselves, do we get angry about it? Do we check? Sometimes things take longer than we anticipated for them to be. Now, over in the book of Daniel, would you go with me? In the book of Daniel, and I want to go to chapter 10. In Daniel. Now, Daniel was in captivity. You remember that story, Daniel in the lion's den? But Daniel was in constant communication with God and asking God for the Lord to reveal some things to him. And this is where we're going to pick up this story at in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then said he unto me, this was an angel, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I'm come to make you understand what shall happen to the people in the latter days, for the vision is yet for many days. How long did it take? 21 days. From the day that Daniel prayed and he asked the Lord to give him wisdom. Now, we know this according to the book of James. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Father who gives to all men liberally. And we want it when? Now. You know, I've said this for years. We've become so conditioned to having things right now that we don't want to wait for them. We have everything that is provided for us. Push a button. It's there. We had internet came out, when was that? Back in the 80s or late 90s? And we had dial-up, right? How many remember dial-up? It's still burned in some of our minds. Right? And that dial-up going on. And then we got faster internet speed, whereas, you know, we don't hear the anymore, and it just pops up. But we're not satisfied with that. We want faster internet speeds, faster downloads, so we can get it quicker. We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait. But I'm telling you, God doesn't work on internet speed time. God works in His own timing. And when you pray, the Bible assures you as a believer that He hears your cry. He hears your prayer. But does that mean that He's going to answer it right now? Not according to this. Not according to this, my friends. Do we get angry with God for not instantly answering our prayers? Some of us do. Some of us are angry with God. You know, I've been praying about this for a year. And it hasn't happened. I've been praying about this for 3 years and it hasn't happened. You know what, God? I've been praying about this for 7 years. That's your number, God. That's the perfect number. Number 7. That means you're going to do it this year. God doesn't work on our timetables. And I want you to know that Isaiah said His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But do we trust Him? Or are we getting angry with Him? Delays in life, things not going our way. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, and I think I'll have Rick throw that one up on the board here. I did give you that one, didn't I, bro? I didn't. Okay. Well, turn over with me there. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs His steps. See, we plan our ways and the things that we think they should go a certain way, but God directs our steps. Long suffering is what God wants us to have, being patient with Him in His time, being patient with others. When you don't get things in the time that you think that they should come in. Why does He want this? Because that's exactly who He is. When you look over at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, this scripture says that God is long-suffering. He is not slack concerning His promises, but He's long-suffering. not willing that any of us should perish. That is the characteristic of our God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, whom we serve, and He is saying He wants us to have that in our lives as well. Can I get an amen here? I want to pray, and I promised you I was going to do this. I'm going to pray that the Lord answers us with this. Would you pray together with me? Father, thank you for this word. And Lord, I pray for each one of us in this house that you would exercise this gift of long suffering. Father, whether it be delays and things that happen in our lives, whether it be provoking us, God, I pray that we would pass your test. And Lord, that you would help us to grow in this area and be able to inspect this fruit of long suffering, this fruit of patience, of looking and waiting for you, Lord. I pray that you would help us with that and give us the opportunities to do that, Lord. And I will give you the praise and give you the honor. In the name of Jesus, we'll thank you for that, Lord. And God's people said, amen and amen. Now, as a show of hands, how many of you will receive it when the Lord brings it your direction and say, Lord, I know you're trying to work on my long suffering. You have that choice. You can say no, but there's consequences. Amen. Amen to that.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.